Oh, this is one of these nights we've got somewhat limited time. Good evening, Jeffrey Bennett. Wednesday night installment of, well, the edge of darkness, but as you know, we attempt to concentrate on to health with you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked yourself if our nation can put a man on the moon and place a satellite in orbit for the banks and the stock markets to transfer money and assets out of the country tax-free, why hasn't the cure for cancer been found? It has. Long time ago. What I'm about to share with you was originally published on Dr. Kelly's site on November 11th, 2010, approximately 5 years before the complete restoration of Dr. Kelly's seminal endeavor of the 1960s through the mid-2000s, which is originally titled One Answer to Cancer, later retitled Cancer, Cure, and the Incurable, a book which, due to a lack of understanding of the program and protocols, Kelly's then editor and publisher left many shortcomings and omissions, which brought us to the current, the final restoration and expansion. The book, as you hopefully know, is now entitled Victory Over Cancer Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation. It's been a very long and, for me, a 20-plus year blessed journey, both during Kelly's last 7 years on this earth, but also with a long-standing and continual relation with his family and the Kelly Foundation. And so the victory remains, if you wish it to be so. What I'm about to share with you is comprised and edited from excerpts from Dr. Kelly's written words and lectures of nearly four decades. Health, my friends, is a wonderful possession, but it does not last forever, although most of us assume it will. It's not until we lose our health that we seek diligently to regain it, often too late and always too expensive. And for the greatest majority of us, we are born in perfect health. Our health and aging process after birth is largely influenced by genetics, culture, geography, and of course, the foods and liquids we consume. These things are all that distinguish who will grow strong and who will grow weak. Why is it some people can live lives of smoking and poor diet and live to be 90, others are susceptible to ill health and disease while living a relatively healthy lifestyle? The fact is, regardless of outward physical appearance, some people will become cancer victims, some apparently likely candidates won't. Simply human nature, that some bodies are innately stronger and more resistant than others are. It seems that there's little interest in the prevention of disease. No, we're talking about the health field, because it makes far better business sense to let the population eat, drink, and smoke to their heart's content and then offer seemingly high-tech and expensive methods of cleaning up the aftermath. We've gotten away from simple diets and become human garbage disposals. Look around you. 60% of the American public is overweight. And after feeding your body with dead and processed foods for 20, 30, 40 or more years, things begin to run less perfectly. We've overlooked the processing energy required to digest bacon and eggs each morning and the steak in the evening, the cocktails in between. My friends, historically, we are repeating the very same lesson we learned during the past two centuries. 100 years ago or so, only 1 in 8,000 had cancer in his lifetime. Today, the rate is 1 in 2 men and 2 out of 3 women, and I believe it is worsening. The cancer industry, of course, calls all of this progress against cancer, but I call it the greatest cover-up ever conceived. Over the past half-plus century, the medical profession and the medical community have progressed to unprecedented heights and achievements in areas of reconstruction and surgical procedure. They've centered their energies and advancement on infectious and traumatic cases, but all but conquering infections of all types. Surgical procedures and treatment of traumatic ills have advanced equally. In short, what the medical community has done, it has done well. Unsurpassed in the history of mankind. But the problems for which the medical community is so well trained and equipped to handle account for only a percentage of the illnesses in our society. In the balance of the cases involving degeneration or metabolic conditions, little hope is received. And so instead of educating the public on how our bodies function best, the American medical complex chooses instead to clean out our arteries with drugs and catheters, perform bypass surgery, cut the problem out altogether. And right now I'm dealing with the drugs and the catheters. I'm not an excited camper. As adult individuals, we have only one variable which is in our total control, our diets. Somewhere around the year 424 BC, Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, made the statement that your food shall be your medicine and your medicine shall be your food. Try as we might, we've not been able to improve upon that basic truth. Particularly true when it comes to the successful treatment of the cancer patient. So let's talk about cancer a bit. The first law of cancer, when the body fails to produce an adequate amount of active pancreatic enzymes to accomplish these tasks, a disease process takes place, which we correctly call cancer. But you see, first of all, cancer is a process. It's not an object. Daily, everyone produces malignant tumor cells, and daily, most everyone's pancreas produces adequate pancreatin to digest the food they eat and the normally developing malignant tumor cells. Now, when this process occurs, one is not aware of it. It is so subtle it must progress for 2 to 4 years before one or one's physician finally realizes that he or she is in trouble. And the things one often complains about to his or her physician during this time are indigestion, weight loss at first, then a few months later, excessive weight gain, eye trouble, often pyorrhea. Eventually, a large enough malignant tumor mass forms, which is the object the cancer victim and or the physician sees, which in error calls cancer. The malignant tumor masses are not cancer, people. They are nothing more than malignant tumor masses. The disease process, the failure of one's pancreas, that is what we correctly call cancer. And so the objective of Dr. Kelly's metabolic cancer cure program was to supply the body with adequate pancreatin to properly digest food, stop this disease process, and to rid the body of any and all malignant tumor cells. That is the proper, the normal, the physiological method of taking care of the disease process that we correctly call cancer. All right. What is cancer not? It's not the lumps and the bumps that we've been so programmed to fear and freak out over if we find one in our body. Cancer is not a malignant tumor mass, which in their ignorance, the doctors mistakenly call cancer. It's one of the reasons we have so damn much cancer in this world today. The physician does not know what cancer is. How in the hell could he possibly treat it? Or properly treat it, for that matter? Well, let's talk about the second law of cancer. The true early signs of cancer are the signs of inadequate protein metabolism, which include protein being gradually sapped from your muscles, gas on the stomach or the bowel, sudden weakness of the eyes, tired feeling most of the time, muscle weakness and cramps, first in the back and then in the chest, extreme mental depression, sudden change in hair texture or color, development of various hernias. Now, that's usually only in slow-growing tumors. And finally, confusion. Difficulty in making even the simplest of decisions. My friends, with few exceptions, by the time one discovers that he or she has cancer, they've had it for a very long time. Now, that was Dr. Kelly's situation. Dr. Kelly had cancer for more than 3 years before the true nature of the problem ever dawned on him. And at the height of the cancer, he had about 2 months to live, he was told. And if he had not discovered God's laws concerning cancer and applied them very diligently, we wouldn't be here to share this information today. Because we know the true early signs of cancer. We also know that we are warned long before our case becomes critical. Third law of cancer. Damaged tissue and female hormones at the site of a latent, misplaced ectopic germ cell. That's what sets the scene for cancer. Most doctors, even the research scientists, suppose such things as viruses, x-rays, cigarette smoking, chemicals, sunlight, trauma, etc. Oh, these are all the things that cause cancer. Now, these sometimes are an indirect cause, because the direct cause of cancer is the changing of an ectopic germ cell into an ectopic trophoblast cell. Now, the Kelly program, for many, many years, has provided an alternative view to conventional medicine in regard to 21st century disease. In order to profess prevention in healthy people and educate those who are ill. And so what we're attempting to do on tonight's program is share with you some very basic, simple facts to at least raise your eyebrows and begin to get you to look outside the bounds. Oh, but Bennett, what the hell do you know? You're just a frickin' broadcaster. I'm a broadcaster that spent 7 years working very closely with Dr. Kelly. Very closely. He taught me much. He trained me much. I have recently shared with you the manner in which Kelly and I met, how we began to work together. I had no clue what the hell I was talking about till a man sent me the books, and I read it, and it really affected me, not because I had the disease, but I've had family members that did have, who are long since deceased. And after I read the book, I sat down and read the book in its entirety again several nights later. And when Kelly was our first, when he was a guest on our broadcast for the very first time, I was far more ready prepared than most of the other people that he'd been a guest with. People that I knew who also wanted to be smartasses. They didn't ask, they told. The human body is the most incredible of discoveries. It receives so little consideration because we all get one upon entering into this life. And it for granted until it cries out to us. So obviously I consider what we share with you. I invite you to acquire Dr. Kelly's book, Victory Over Cancer, Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation. Incorporate everything in it you can into your lifestyle. But I suggest that you listen to your heart and the voice within you and seek the advice of a trusted physician, which I'm going to tell you right now, I've been fighting for 9 months, and little by little by little, one by one by one, I'm gathering a team of trusted physicians. Now, Dr. Kelly's book, Victory Over Cancer, Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation, can be acquired through our website, drkelly.net. That's drkelly.net. Near the top, there's a huge banner that says Victory Over Cancer. Directly underneath it are a series of subtitles that you can look at. Okay? And bear with me for just a second, because I'm going to pop this page open, because it's too important not to share with you. It's right above the banner. It says home or welcome and mission. Dr. Kelly, his own history. Dr. Kelly's metabolic typing, that's a story for another day. The Kelly enzymes. The bookstore. Now, the bookstore is where you want to go. Currently, I'm offering the two books. I've not reoffered a set, but I will work with you on it. Because predominantly, if you suspect you've got cancer, or you just want to gain knowledge about cancer, Victory Over Cancer is what you want. It'll teach you so much. It'll give you the things to raise questions about, raise eyebrows, and look at yourself and consider maybe some of the problems you're having. But you'll learn so much. That's what's important. So you hold your mouse over the words, the bookstore, you'll be given two selections. Victory Over Cancer, or the self-test for different metabolic types. If you're not undergoing any form of cancer treatment, etc., the self-test is a brilliant book to get. It's a test that will take you about 5 hours to complete. But the answers you will come out with can make you very healthy human beings. Now, each of these books is currently roughly about $49 a piece. Okay? And that's delivered. If you are interested in acquiring both books, you just get a hold of me. You can order these through PayPal. And my PayPal address is kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. That's what my assignage is. It's been that way for years. That's pretty much the only business I do at PayPal. If you choose to rather send a check, contact with me, shoot me an email at that same address. Let me know what it is you're wanting to order. I'll put together a quick invoice for you. You provide me with your name, your address, etc., and we'll get these books shipped out to you. If you're interested in the set, I'll take care of you. Recently had price increases, partially because of increase in printing costs of the books. I just got new copies of the books. Also, because the post office ain't being very kind. Oh my God, it's getting ridiculous. I'll work with you, okay? Now understand some things here. And a question. There are doctors who hold Dr. Kelly in high esteem and those who see him as a threat. Then, of course, there were those who have learned from Kelly. And there are a lot of them that make no reference to him. Be prepared to encounter one or the other. The open-minded ones tend to be the former. In Kelly's words, it is always, always his purpose to help those who desired better health, who were willing to work for the better health. It was ever the objective of the Kelly program to point out some of the metabolic deficiencies in the metabolism of each person who has the malfunction, not to treat the disease that has the person. And it was always Kelly's desire to advise, to teach, to counsel a person in such a way that he or he alone were responsible for his or her own health. It's real simple. A doctor cannot cure you of anything. If you have a broken arm, the physician may set it, but only you, your own body, may cure or heal the break. And Kelly taught me that realizing that during your lifetime, you will need the help of many in the healing profession, the dentist, the osteopath, the chiropractor, naturopath, the biochemist, the nutritionist, the therapist, and last but not least, a spiritual counselor. And although each one of them may give you aid, you must assume the responsibility of accepting and following their advice. But to successfully resolve cancer, however simple, is a tedious and lengthy metabolic process. It's not expensive as compared to the accepted surgical, radiological, or chemotherapy methods, and it's proven very effective. Down through the years, cancer patients have had such excellent results with Kelly's metabolic medicine program that they brought other family members and friends for nutritional counseling. And the range of diseases for which Kelly had planned nutritional programs covers the complete gamut of degenerative and metabolic ills, even some infectious diseases and structural conditions. And Kelly's experience with over 33,000 benefactors led him to understand that balancing body chemistry through nutrition is a fruitful approach which should be investigated on a larger scale. But how long this will take, or whether it will be done at all, is a matter of speculation. For many of you, or your friends, are desperately seeking help for conditions that could be alleviated through nutritional balancing of body chemistry. And cancer is just one of those conditions. A very large part of Kelly's nutritional counseling was devoted to planning nutritional programs for people who do not have cancer. Now, whatever the specific metabolic degenerative conditions may be, hope and encouragement is justified by the many favorable reports from those who had already benefited from Kelly's metabolic medicine. And so it has been for many, many years our desire that Kelly's program and his book, Victory Over Cancer Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation, be a helpful aid to many who are themselves or have lost loved ones afflicted with malignancy. Remember this. Cancer is a symptom of inadequate and deficient protein metabolism. The real problem is protein metabolism, not cancer. Cancer is just a symptom. And telling those who would listen that their protein metabolism is in very serious trouble. Surgery, radiation, and chemo only treat the symptoms of the cancer. 86%, my friends, of all cancers could be controlled and or prevented by diet and pancreatic enzymes. It's that damn simple. But it's going to take work. I will suggest to you that, as I mentioned earlier on, this particular column was posted in November of 2010. And as I stated in the posting of that column, many readers of that column had over the past several years purchased Dr. Kelly's books and its previous incarnations. But how many have read the book? How many had put Kelly's renowned programs into practice within your daily nutritional program? How many of you just found it an interesting story? How many had been diagnosed with cancer? How many of them have yet to purchase the book and study it? My friends, there's many questions posed here. And yet you, who are out there listening tonight, are the only one who can do anything about your physical, spiritual, or financial well-being. Not your doctor, your dentist, your banker, your broker, your insurance man, not even your priest or minister or rabbi. It's you who must take the bull by the horns, accept responsibility for your own personal maladies. And the biggest single problem in America today, besides apathy, is our unwillingness to accept responsibility for our own lives. Oh no, we wait for the magic pill from government or the American medical complex. God forbid, the United Nations or the World Health Organization. It isn't going to happen, people. Not without a lot of strings attached. Quite a few strings. Usually the ones they'll use to hang us. In Kelly's words, there were only two physicians, the Almighty and your own body. And so, to close this portion of the program tonight, understand there are five steps of Metabolic Medicine's Cancer Cure Program. Metabolic supplementation. Detoxification of the body. Adequate, proper, and balanced diet. Neurological stimulation. And finally, spiritual attitude. The progress of the prognosis for a cancer patient is very good when the liver, the kidney, and the lung functions are at least 50% of normal. And an optimistic spiritual attitude is maintained. Unfortunately, we have found many people who have lost hope, and their next of kin have lost hope to the degree that they were resigned to death and refused to try Dr. Kelly's cancer program. Sad, is it not? I always found that to be so. Interesting. Michael, if you can do that, let's do it. I had to pop that on him. I probably don't concentrate enough on Kelly and his work. You can do that anytime you want. It's important that I do so. Many of you know what I'm going through from a health standpoint right now. And I return to the words of the wise man. I'll be having some very, although I know I have no cancer, I have enough other issues right now that it could ultimately lead to a cancerous situation. So I'm going to ask you to stay with us for a few minutes. When we come back, I'm going to share a very interesting tribute to Dr. Kelly. And I will once again, a little bit later in the program, tell you how to acquire the book. This is a very interesting tribute from a man who knew Kelly quite well, Dr. Ralph Moss, who shortly after Kelly's passing wrote quite a tribute to Kelly. Stick around, we'll be right back. You know, typically on Wednesday, we'll pull this piece of music for a break. As many of you know, I rarely do breaks. Time is fleeting. I have no time to allow for 3, 4, 5 minute breaks because I've got so much to cover in such minimal time. Listening to this piece of music, which is the theme song from the 1950s movie Picnic with William Holden and Kim Novak, I have, in the last year, reintroduced myself to Kim Novak, who was not only a pretty damn good actress, she was one gorgeous woman. She had better legs and better feet than most of them do. She did a phenomenal amount of unbelievable films. Did several Alfred Hitchcock films. And I'm sitting here listening to this piece of music, which is from the actual soundtrack, and I'm visually sitting here watching her move and how she's snapping her fingers as she begins to shake to move in on William Holden, who had been dancing with Kim Novak's character's younger sister. It has nothing to do with the program. I just had to comment. Stick around. Before I went to the break, I mentioned that one of the things I wanted to share with you tonight was a tribute to Dr. William Donald Kelly. Dr. Kelly was born in 1926, and he died in January of 2005. As our author stated, William Donald Kelly, DDS, MS, one of the most significant figures in the history of alternative cancer treatments, passed away on January 30th of 2005 at the age of 79. And the cause of his death was congestive heart failure. Well, he had a long history of heart problems, severe rhythm disturbances beginning back in the 1960s. Kelly was born on November 1st, 1925, maybe 26, on an 80-acre dirt farm in Winfield, Kansas. I've been there. That's where I physically met Kelly for the very first time. Kelly's father had died young of a heart attack and during the Great Depression. His mother raised three sons alone. All three sons went to college and then graduate school and became successful professionals. I met one of Kelly's brothers, who was also a dentist. I so much wanted to meet his other brother, who was an amazing intellectual historian. I got to know of him, but never spoke with him. Kelly was an unusual child. He once told our author that when he was three, he had a vision of Jesus approaching him as he was playing in a sandpile, and took Kelly up into his arms and instructed him to become a medical missionary. Kelly later moved to Texas, studied at Baylor University, and under the influence of his father-in-law, he became a successful orthodontist, working 12 to 14 hours a day, putting braces on the teeth of the children of Grapevine, Texas. And he and his first wife, who I knew many years later, they adopted four children, lived the typical suburban existence of the 1950s in what little spare time he had that he restored. I'm sorry, in what little spare time Kelly had, he'd restored antique cars. Always a determined worker, practically lived on candy bars and other junk food. I have a photograph of Kelly, the 1923 Cadillac he had restored. And it was a time that he took his family on a vacation in that vehicle. Sometime around 1960, Kelly's health began to suffer, deteriorate. And the first thing he noticed was diminishing eyesight. Also developed muscle cramps, chest pains. and then slid into a severe mental depression. The culmination came in 1964 when he suffered acute gastric distension and was hospitalized. And a series of x-rays showed the signs of advancing pancreatic cancer, including lesions in his lungs, his hip, his liver. His surgeon refused to operate, saying that Kelly had but 4 to 8 weeks to live. The doctors were so certain of their diagnosis that they felt no need to take a biopsy of the tumor. An omission which was to hound Kelly in later years. Now, Kelly was ready to give up. But his redoubtable frontier mother came from Kansas to rescue him. Threw out the junk food and the meat and instructed him to eat only fresh and raw fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds. After several months, Kelly began to feel better. And he was even able to return to work. In a health food store, he then discovered the work of dietary pioneer Max Gerson, who had written the book Cancer Therapy, 50 Cases, which advocated a similar program. Now, throughout the years that I traveled and represented Dr. Kelly in his work and his books, etc., etc., I met Gerson's daughter. Had some amazing conversations with her. But after 6 or 7 months, Kelly began improving. And he began developing... No, I'm sorry. He stopped improving. He developed severe digestive problems, probably from the advancing cancer, and therefore began taking pancreatic enzymes, at first simply to aid his digestion. And he eventually increased the dose to 50 enzyme capsules per day. And he then discovered the work of the Scottish embryologist John Beard, who early in the 20th century had postulated that pancreatic enzymes were a natural control for cancer. And he also encountered the writings of Dr. Edward Howell, author of Enzyme Nutrition and an early apostle of the raw plant food diet. Yeah. In time, Kelly healed from his own disease, went on to treat over 30,000 other patients. Now, initially, Kelly discovered that while many people did well on this diet, others did not. His second wife, Susie, was one of those. It turned out that she needed rare red meat in order to control her severe allergies. And thus was born Kelly's concept of the metabolic type, in which different people, because of genetic heritage and environmental factors, had different requirements for vegetarian or carnivorous diets, raw and or cooked. Kelly became influenced in his thinking about meat because of the work of Valdemar Stefansson, a Harvard-trained explorer who, among other things, had shown that the Eskimo remain cancer-free on a fatty red meat diet. But go to Japan and try to feed that particular diet to an Asian. Results liable to be different. As you know, Kelly was author of several books, including his self-help book, One Answer to Cancer, first published in 1967. There was an updated book called Cancer, Cure and the Incurable. His tests for cancer included the Kelly enzyme test, the Kelly index of malignancy. Now, in 2004, and this is an editor's note here, shortly before Kelly's death, the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, issued a cease and desist order against Kelly and his then publisher for the printing and marketing of the book, Cancer, curing the incurable without surgery, chemotherapy, or radiation. You see, in America, my friends, it seems to be illegal to cure cancer or to suggest that it can be cured. Oh, it can be treated, according to the mainstream medical community. But so there they sit. They get this cease and desist. I never received that notification, and I was probably delivering more of those books than anybody. And so I never stopped. It took until 2013 before efforts were put in place to not only fully restore Kelly's complete protocol, but to put a new name on the book. Victory over cancer. Without surgery, chemotherapy, or radiation. We began shipping that book on November the 1st, 2015. It's the book we've talked about during the first hour of the program tonight, first half hour. And not only did I enhance the book, I restored the book to Kelly's original intent, not the omissions that had been left out with the second editor, but also included a series of lectures and interviews that Kelly had done over the years in the 1970s, the 1980s, etc. Because they became important. Each one of those things showed that Kelly never changed. He wasn't flip-flopping around. That's the reason we did the things in that book that we've done. In 1970, Kelly was convicted of practicing medicine without a license. And in 1976, the court suspended his dental license for 5 years. And for a while in the late 70s, he worked in a clinic south of Tijuana. I have photographs of that. I had a long conversation with a man who had worked with Kelly down there, who unfortunately is now deceased. Kelly's high point of fame came in 1980. When he treated the popular U.S. film actor Steve McQueen for advanced mesothelioma, a form of chest and abdomen cancer generally caused by asbestos exposure. McQueen died after undergoing surgery in 1980. Kelly claimed that McQueen had actually been cured, but then murdered because he was going to blow the lid off the cancer racket. Those were a direct quote from McQueen. But in the public mind, that failure dealt a blow to all of Kelly's claims of success with cancer. But I have other information on the Kelly McQueen story, which we'll not have time to get into tonight. In the 1970s, Kelly was reasonable in his statements about medical orthodoxy, and although he appreciated the difficulties of changing America's lifestyle, he looked forward to a fair and proper evaluation of his method, and as time progressed, he became increasingly despondent, realizing that it would probably never happen. And he also became increasingly paranoid. In the 1980s, he moved to rural Washington State. His marriage to Susie had broken up. He lost control of his once thriving organization. Kelly's mental and physical health began to deteriorate as well. In the late 1980s, he and his then companion, a cardiologist named Carol Morrison, M.D., who he had allegedly cured of breast cancer, moved to rural Pennsylvania. Our author actually visited them twice in the small town of Saxonburg, north of Pittsburgh. And he found that couple, a former successful orthodontist and board-certified heart specialist, living in a small rented bungalow on Water Street, surviving on Kelly's monthly Social Security check. And Kelly was a shadow of his former self, and although he still did coffee enemas every day, he'd reverted to drinking huge bottles of soda, to which he ascribed health-giving properties. And he and Morrison seemed only tangentially interested in medicine. They were too busy running their daisy wheel printer day and night, churning out racist and anti-Semitic tracts. Hard to connect that bitter wreck of a man with a vibrant individual of early decades. But then it was around this time period that Nicholas J. Gonzalez, a recent graduate of Cornell Medical College, first came to prominence in New York as a practitioner of Kelly's methods. Gonzalez was always scrupulous in crediting Kelly for his contribution to his work, and yet the Kelly that our author met in 1990 seethed with anger at the world, particularly at those who had tried to help him, including Gonzalez. There was a time that Kelly even sued Gonzalez in a bit too in a nuisance suit. Suit was dismissed, unkind words from the judge. After Morrison died, Kelly moved back to his mother's Kansas farm where his strange, eventful history had begun nearly 80 years before. And yet, asked to sum up Kelly's contribution, Gonzalez wrote the following. And just for your edification, I am in continual touch with the Gonzalez Foundation, with his widow. I've done some things to assist them because our goals are to help humanity. Gonzalez began by saying, over the years, just about anything that could ever be said about anybody, good, bad, and indifferent, has been said about Kelly. And regardless of how true or untrue such statements might be, my wish is that he be remembered for what he truly was, a brilliant man who sacrificed all personal happiness for what he believed to be the truth. And like so many other brilliant men, he fit in nowhere and generated controversy, adulation, and scorn for much of his adult life, wherever he went and whatever he did. The world certainly treated him poorly, Gonzalez continued, and too often in his later years he responded in kind. His faults, like his strengths, are legion, extraordinary, lived an eccentric life, always on the fringe. At one point during the early 1990s, I heard he was scavenging food out of dumpsters. Despite all of this, I'd always remained focused and continue to remain so on his unique ability to see a truth no one else could see and stick with it regardless of the cost. Gonzalez continues, from the day I first met him in a chiropractor's office in Queens in July of 1981, after my second year of medical school, his one goal, his one wish, was to have his work properly evaluated and tested so that if it proved of value, it could be integrated into the mainstream of orthodox medicine. Gonzalez says, that was, to me, whatever was to happen in our own relationship. And whatever he was to say about me in recent years, always an honorable goal, one which I took seriously and continue to work hard at. It is my estimation, in his scientific thinking, Gonzalez continued, that Kelly was light years ahead of the rest of us, both orthodox and alternative. And he deserves our respect for his accomplishments, for his trials, his severe tribulations, and our forgiveness for his foibles. And someday, I believe his thoughts about the nature of cancer and human disease will become the foundation of a new medicine, not merely a fringe footnote. And the world will remember him at that time with well-deserved appreciation. For now, let's remember him kindly, with gratitude, for what he did and what he tried to do. Combination of words from Dr. Ralph Moss, PhD, and also the words of Nicholas Gonzalez. Profound. Both of these pieces that I've shared with you during this hour, I have put back up at the very head of the Dr. Kelly site. You'll learn some things about Ralph Moss. But keep in mind, this thing was written in February of 2005. I don't know if Ralph is still with us. I need to do some looking around. So, if you go to drkelly.net, you will be able to find both of these articles posted. Read them. There are links in here that will also take you to Dr. Kelly's book, Victory Over Cancer. I've also shared with you how to drop into the bookstore, like I say, either Victory Over Cancer or Dr. Kelly's self-test for the different metabolic types. Call me if you have questions about these books. Now, if you go to the headline, just the bookstore, you'll have links to both Victory Over Cancer and the other. There's also a link to the Kelly package. I will be reposting the package, but I submit to you that if you want to order the package, contact me. I will take good care of you. Keep in mind, Kelly's work was decades ahead of its time, providing the information which led thousands of cancer victims to years and sometimes decades of victorious survival beyond that which was offered by the conventional medical practice. Learn from Kelly's seminal books how you can order them, benefit by them for your good health. That's the purpose for this. It's to benefit you, your family. Over the years, I received numerous letters. I've got a post, which I've shared with you before, that I received from Linda H., and I received this in 2015. She said, I had the privilege of going to Dr. Kelly in 1975 in Grapevine, Texas, for the treatment. And here I am in the year 2015 at the age of 69. He was a wonderful, caring man, and I credit him with the long life I have had. And I'm so blessed to have found him and his wisdom, and I will always be grateful. How did I get that letter? Because Linda H. ordered Victory Over Cancer. She's got the original books. She doesn't need them, but she wanted it. She wanted the updates. I hope you've gotten some benefit out of this hour tonight. I feel really good about having brought it to you. We had something else planned for tonight, and I felt this was far more important. So, after having said all of this, I can be reached by phone or text at 602-799-8214. You can always reach me through email. Kettle Moraine, LTD, at cox.net. You can find that on the front page of the Kelly site. And you can always get a hold of me by phone, and we could shoot the breeze for a while. Let's bail on out of here with the lovely Ella. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Good night.
It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars, and down by the shore an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin the beginning. To live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. they begin the beginning. Oh, yes, let them begin the beginning. Make them play till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.